This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Our mid-school year education series continues today. And Kate McLaughlin from South Umpqua School District, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So this is your first year being the superintendent down here after coming from Reynolds in the Portland area and being up in that area for a long time. Overall, how are things going this year?
Going great. It's, of course, busy. The beginning of the school year is always a busy time for us, and coming back from break is also keeps us hopping, but we're doing some good work and learning a lot about our students, staff, and community.
So what kinds of things are you learning about both the district and this area? I mean, I'm sure when you come in, though you've been in education for years, every place, every situation is just a little bit different.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I would say, first and foremost, I've got to know our staff, I've got to know our students, and our staff is incredibly dedicated, committed to student success. They truly care about the students that they serve and want to make sure they have the best education possible. This area we know is rich in their history. It's deeply rooted in the timber industry. There's a lot of pride in that. We see that in the community events and the support that they provide our kids in our schools when we host an event. They are there and they are supporting us.
So as you take over and kind of get used to the district, I'm sure there have been points at the beginning especially where you kind of go spend a significant amount of time in each building.
Yes. So doing walkthroughs in each of the buildings, meeting with staff as opportunities become available, observing instruction in the classrooms, those are all important parts of getting to know the district.
And what are your goals for this first year being superintendent?
Well, our goals have focused primarily on the four school board goals that we were given: the student achievement, communication, equitable access, and fiscal responsibility. And we've really built our strategic plan around those goals, action items, understanding the systems that are in place that support teaching and learning, and making sure those systems are strong. We've had a big focus on communication and improving our two-way communication with all of our stakeholders this year. So we've launched a district Facebook page. We've created monthly staff newsletters, monthly community newsletters, and just trying to really increase that communication.
And it seems like in education, back before all these options for communication were out there, sometimes parents who weren't engaged would arrive at a conference and find out all kinds of things they didn't know had been or not been going on with their student. And with some of the things that are out there, there's the opportunity for more immediate communication from both sides.
Sure. I'm a parent myself, and when my kids were in school, I had much more access to information about how they were proceeding through school than my parents had about me when I was there. And that trend continues. Electronic communication is the way we communicate now, and parents at the push of a button can get grade reports and be able to connect with their child's teacher.
So which system do you use for being able to access those grade reports online?
Well, we have a student information system. We in South Umpqua use PowerSchool, but there are also a lot of other tools that can be used and different apps that can be used depending on what best meets the needs of our families.
And then that also means that from the other side, from the teacher's side, you've got to be able to paint an accurate picture, you've got to keep all that updated too.
Right. And it is a challenge. I mean, if you look at what the myriad of responsibilities that are on a teacher's plate, and communication with families and with students is one of the most important things, but it is a challenge to keep up with that, especially if you think about a high school teacher who has multiple class periods and a lot of students that they see each day.
So how does this compare so far to your work in a more urban district?
You know, I think that every district has its own unique challenges. I would say some of the things I've learned coming to a smaller, more rural area is that it's really access to resources. So if you have a hard-to-fill position, for example, we can advertise that position, but we have a harder time finding individuals that have the qualifications that we need for those positions. Or if we have facilities work that needs to be done, it can sometimes be a challenge to find contractors who have the time available or can meet our needs in a more remote location.
And even right now, I know there's a kind of a, I don't know if shortage is the right word, I guess it is, of people, contractors, because everything is picked up and all of those folks are busier.
Absolutely. Yes, we're finding the same thing here. And, you know, there's a difference in the urban areas up around the metro area. There are more companies available, and so there's a little different level of competition for bidding on some of those things than we find in the rural areas.
Now, what about just the differences maybe in the kids or the parents between here and an urban area?
I would have to say kids are kids, and education, the work that we do in education is the same regardless of where you are. I think the important thing there is to make sure you know your community, you know your families, and you know what's important to them to make sure that your visions align.
What have been some of the highlights of the school year so far for you?
Definitely getting to meet people, getting to know people. We have hosted a series of community town halls, gathering feedback from our community on what we're doing well, areas that we could improve upon. I've also had the pleasure of meeting with a group of our high school students this year and hearing some feedback from them. And that may be the highlight of the school year, is just listening to our students. And I'm so impressed by them. They are often wise beyond their years and have fabulous input on how to improve our systems.
Now, if I remember from our conversation in September, is this your first time as a superintendent?
Correct.
But you worked in the administrative area in Reynolds for many years, right?
Many years. So I was in the Reynolds School District for 16 years, and the last 7 or 8 of those in administration, federal programs, and supervising elementary education.
So how long has it been since you've been a classroom teacher?
Oh, my gosh. It's been about 14, 15 years.
So were you a principal somewhere in there, too?
I was a principal for several years at an elementary school in Reynolds.
And so do you, even after all that time and with all the responsibilities you have, do you miss, though, sometimes being in a classroom more directly?
Every day. If I have an opportunity to work with kids, I take advantage of it. If I have an opportunity to teach, I take advantage of it. It is my first love, and I always go back to it when I can.
But yet at the same time, as a superintendent, you've got the opportunity to not just mold 25 or 30 people and deal with parents. You've got to sort of be the person with the brush that's painting the bigger picture.
Right. You know, the visionary work, of course, is important, making sure that we're meeting the needs of the community and providing the highest quality education possible for all of our students.
Are there times, though, being an administrator, where you wonder why you went that route and wonder about maybe you should just go back to a classroom?
I suppose you always question the paths that you take. My first love will always be teaching, but I also absolutely love the work I do as an administrator and getting to work with the adults in our system.
Talk about the school board that you have, and you talked about some of the action items from them, but just talk about what that is like to do that sort of interaction as a superintendent for the first time.
Sure. I've worked with the board in Reynolds for many, many years, and I'm familiar with the work of the school board. I would say that we're really fortunate in South Umpqua to have a board that's very supportive and willing to do the work. We have board members that are doing the work for all the right reasons and very supportive of the work we're doing in our schools.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Kate McLaughlin, superintendent of the South Umpqua School District. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. It's 1245 during the education series on Inside Douglas County from News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1 and News Radio 1240 KQAN. Later today, KQAN Local Talk at 4. It's Thursday. That means Northwest Wine Radio. Brian Calvert looking at wine, beer, and spirits from around the Northwest. And we wrap up our week-long emphasis on education tomorrow with Superintendent Michael Asher of the Douglas Education Service District. Kate McLaughlin, new to the South Umpqua School District, her first year in the district and first year as superintendent. What are some of maybe the plans now that you've been here a few months that you might have looking down the road for things that you would like to add into the mix program-wise?
Well, we have already hit the ground running. So we have one new program we've implemented this year is our ninth grade success program at the high school. We're very excited about that. It is a partnership with Stand for Children, and they've provided us with some great resources and tools to do real-time data collection for our students to make sure they're on track, really support that eighth grade to high school transition, which we know is a critical point. And then they're also providing some real-time coaching for our administrative staff as well as our ninth grade teachers in changing some of the behaviors that we see and helping our students to find success in ninth grade so that they are ready to graduate when the time comes.
And maybe you can explain more about that. I know I heard some of that information from one of the other districts back in the fall. How students who come out of ninth grade on track with their goals and not already falling behind and doing pretty good, just the difference between that and not doing that, you know, ultimately making it to the end, making it to graduation is a big difference between how well or not so well the ninth grade year goes.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a critical point in a student's educational process. The ninth grade year is very credit heavy. So if they are struggling in classes and are unable to attain credits in core classes, it puts them behind from the very beginning. And it makes it very hard for them to catch up, even though they have several years left, because they have other required credits in each of those following years. So we just want to make sure that they start off in that ninth grade year with every advantage that they can possibly have so that the following years they're prepared for that graduation.
Now, South Umpqua, that's a four-year high school, right?
That's correct.
So, and over the years, that's evolved as well. But I know, you know, I can remember back. Yes, it was many years ago. First time I walked into the high school I went to, which happened to be the biggest one in the state at that time, it's a little bit, even if you're a good student, it's a little daunting.
It is daunting, you know, and I think I remember that really well myself, but having some additional supports in place, having regular meetings with an advisor who goes over where you're at, who helps you look at the areas you're struggling and provide resources or help connect you to the things you need, and you know, really not give you an opportunity to fail. That's the goal. We want our advisors working with our kids to not just provide them with opportunities to be successful, but also do everything in their power to make sure that that student does not fail.
Now, due to a business tax that was recently enacted, school districts are going to be getting some additional funds. What are you evolving in terms of where some of that money might go? And, of course, I know this is kind of a whole new thing.
It is a whole new thing. You know, that the process began, of course, looking at our data early in the year and starting to determine our areas of need, but then also a lot of feedback from those stakeholder input sessions. And so we are deep in the process of analyzing the feedback that we've received and putting it together with our data. I can tell you that there are really two main trends that have emerged from that. One is the need for mental health supports for our students, and that can look like a lot of things. It can look like counselors. It can look like social-emotional curriculum and learning. It can look like behavior supports for students who are struggling. And then the other trend that we're seeing, which really is the highest trend, is the need for increased opportunities for the practical, relevant course electives. And that came up K-12, so it could look like anything from PE and music, library and media, to things like basic auto care or personal finance and tax preparation. And then specifically at the high school level, our students and our community have expressed a strong desire that there are opportunities for multiple pathways post-graduation. So we know that college is important for many of our kids, but we also know that there are many kids who would like the opportunity to explore trades or apprenticeships that prepare them to go straight into the workforce or military service. So there are multiple pathways, and we've been asked to make sure that all of those are available to our students.
Talk about the career technical work you're doing with the other schools down there in Myrtle Creek.
Sure. So we are part of a South County Consortium. It happens to be housed at South Umpqua High School. We're pleased to host that. And it's early in that program, and I'm pretty sure that Superintendent Lasher will speak to that a little bit tomorrow as well. But we provide the site, we provide the instructor, but then the other school districts in the consortium can send their students who are interested in that particular career technical strand to us for those classes.
And because technology's changed, there are any number of really well-paying careers that don't now require that four-year degree that, you know, 10 years ago, everybody said, well, you've absolutely got to have a four-year degree.
Right.
Now, not as much.
Right. There are a lot of career opportunities in the trades, and our kids are asking for those opportunities to at least explore those. They want the opportunity to maybe shadow somebody or participate in an apprenticeship so that they can learn more about what that looks like before they have to make a decision about whether they want to go to college or whether they want to pursue a trade.
Now, the district has made some attempts over the years to get a levy passed for new facilities. You guys have very aging buildings in many cases. Is any new move in that direction of trying to work on something there?
Yeah, that's always always on our minds. We currently have a board-appointed facility advisory committee that meets monthly. They are in the process of reviewing the most recent building needs assessment and considering all of the options. A bond levy may be one of the recommendations they put forward in the end. We don't know yet. We're hoping that they'll be able to take recommendations to the board this spring and that the board would be able to make some decisions at that time. But you're right. We have buildings that are 70, 80, 90 years old. Or more. And part of the work of the committee at that point is to consider what it would take to bring those buildings up to our 21st century standards, both in building construction for health and safety, but also in what we've learned about optimal learning conditions for students. At a certain point, you have to balance the cost of renovating versus the cost of replacement and figure out which is the best return on investment for our taxpayer monies.
And either way, that can be a significant bill to greatly remodel a school or to build a new one.
Correct. And, there are some situations in which we're able to attain grant support. For example, the seismic rehabilitation grants. We had one of those at our Tri-City Elementary building last year. And this year we have a seismic rehab grant for Myrtle Creek Elementary that work is beginning on as well. But just for a general capital improvement project, like replacing a building or doing a full-on renovation of an aged building, oftentimes we do need to look at a bond in order to have enough capital to do that work.
And sometimes there's some additional state dollars there. If you can pass a bond and get X amount of dollars, you might get a whatever percentage match to make that even a bigger project.
Correct, yes. The state does cycles of what they call matching grants. It's not a true match dollar for dollar, but it is a lot of support if you're able to get a bond approved through the community. The state then does support that work.
About 30 seconds left. What do you guys do to assist teachers in their professional development?
I think that's one of the most important pieces of the work we do, and the object there is to get high-quality professional development for teachers whenever possible, to bring in an expert from the field to provide that. I think you have to always find a balance there of not overloading teachers, which education has a tendency to do, but making sure that we're sticking with an initiative, following it through, and providing some good training for them.
Kate McLaughlin is the superintendent of the South Umpqua School District. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. My pleasure.
1257 at News Radio 1240, KQEN.
been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.